It's not a podcast, it's a beacon of freedom, because your geek history lesson on Peacemaker is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Weird Helmets Inman. Welcome to Geek History Lesson, the podcast where we talk to you about one character, one construct, or one, I don't know, character that was bought by another character and then sort of is appearing in movies now, character. Yeah, we call that the Mind University. Welcome. This is your first episode with us. Hello. Don't go away.
If this is your first episode with us, why is this the one that brought you here? That's my question.
Because we are talking about Peacemaker, because there is a brand new HBO Max series happening right around the time we're recording this. We haven't seen it yet, so we won't be talking about it, but we will tell you everything you need to know about the comic book history, or the prose history, as you will.
There's definitely no prose for this character.
I
mean,
you know, you could never, I would never assume, of Peacemaker.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's, was this requested by any
it
listeners?
Was.
Okay. So who, by the way, listeners, if you want us to do a geek history lesson about a certain subject, then all you have to do is go to Twitter at GHL Podcast, or go to Facebook at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or go to Instagram at geek history lesson on Instagram. Although we'll look at that less because, you know, DMs are kind of weird. Be careful. Stay out of the DMs. All right, Ashley, you're just nodding at me. I don't know.
I know where you're going. So our TAs for this episode are Brian Yaniger, Jose Ponce de Leon, who also made a sweet meme about if we did a geek history lesson in empanadas. So thank you for sharing that with us. Adam Grunther, Geeks with Shields, at RoniH7, Josh Reinhardt, Ben Walters, Luis de Leon, and Alex Lancaster. Thank you so much for requesting Peacemaker. What's right. wrong with you?
What's wrong? I don't know if I like these suggestions of where this episode is going.
Look, I read a lot of Peacemaker prepping for this episode, and this character's wild.
All right.
Racial stereotypes, we're going to get there.
Oh, boy. All right, let's get into the 10-cent origin. That is the Cliff Notes version of the character. So if you go to a fancy cocktail party and somebody's like, hey, will you tell me about this toilet bowl guy? You can be like, I gotcha.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep. So Peacemaker, a.k.a. Christopher Smith, a.k.a. Mitchell Black, a.k.a. a bunch of other guys, is a DC Comics character, formerly a Modern Comics character, formerly a Charlton Comics character, meaning that he came from the same class of characters as Blue Beetle. Created originally by Joe Gill and Pat Boyette, his first appearance was in Fightin' Five, number 40, in November of 1966. His team affiliations include Checkmate, Shadow Fighters, Suicide Squad, LAW Teen Titans Academy. And his abilities include Peak of Human Physical Condition, didn't know that was a superpower, Durable Body Armor, Flight Pack, Communications Helmet, Expert Hand-to-Hand Combatant, Advanced Military Weaponry, Marksmanship, Espionage, and Proficient Tactician and Strategist. And I have to say, if some of these are superpowers, Jason's basically a superhero. And he has been portrayed in live action by John Cena in the 2021 movie The Suicide Squad, and then subsequently in the 2022 series Peacemaker. And that is your 10-cent origin.
Do you like in the post-2021 world now that DC is like the Batman, the Suicide Squad? I guess the Wolverine started it, didn't it?
Do I like it? Absolutely not. Is it going to make retail people who have to shelve these things confused? Yes.
Yeah, where do you put it, under T or do you put it under S?
No, you never file anything under the. So you put it under Suicide Squad.
So it'd be next to the other Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So we probably, I wonder if we'll get the Spider-Man, the Hulk.
Probably, I hope not.
The Wolverine again.
I do want to say that, listeners, I really suggest that you stick around for the discussion portion, because we have a very special DC Comics expert joining to shine some light on Peacemaker.
Yeah, somebody who actually worked at DC Comics.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yes, like you. We're going to have two DC Comics experts. And if you like what they have to say, we are going to have our first round of pop culture talk with them over on the Patreon on this week's Geek History Lesson Extra, which you can get at patreon.com/Jawin. We're going to talk about what we're looking forward to this year figure out if Peacemaker makes the cut. And then also while you're there, enjoy some of the four other podcasts that we do every month just for you.
Yeah,
friends.
Our Just League podcast, our personal podcast, and GHL Extra. And then also all of the listeners over at the Patreon have gotten sneak peeks at Super Best Friend. Issue 2, which is coming soon to Kickstarter.
To a Kickstarter near you.
Very soon. So make sure you keep on top of my Twitter, at Jawin, J-W-I-I-N. And Geek History Lesson would have a lot of that stuff. So it's coming, friends. So if you're excited about Issue 2, there will be cameos. You can be drawn into the comic book. So there you go.
There you go.
All right, let's go to the meet cute of Peacemaker, where we first meeted or cuted the character. Ashley, where did you first meet Peacemaker? I'm very curious about this.
I'm sure I read him in something somewhere, but Peacemaker literally never stayed in my brain until I saw, before the Suicide Squad came out, there was like a meme going around that was something that feels racist but isn't. And there was someone just posted a picture of John Cena in the costume, which is pretty accurate.
It's pretty legit
to me. Although Tim Sheridan's Teen Titans Academy is the only series that I had read before prepping for this episode that
he's
features Peacemaker. He is. We're not going to talk a lot about it because it's still being published and we try not to spoil. Although he is apparently in the villains issue of Crisis on Infinite Earths. I remember us talking about that extensively on Crisis Club, but I don't remember him whatsoever.
Yeah.
So where did you first meet Cube Peacemaker?
Ashley, it's the same answer. It's a random 90s comic book.
Or Pax Americana, I suppose.
No, I knew who he was.
Uh-huh.
He's just the character that I think I saw in a background or was in an event. Mm-hmm. He's probably in Death of Superman somewhere.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know him really. I don't really have a specific meet cute. Like, I've just kind of always been aware of who he is.
He literally didn't become a lead until 2 years ago, so yep. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I know him mainly as a supporting character in the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle run.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
So there you go. Dun, dun, dun. All right, let's get to the main meat of the lesson, or the main piece of the maker, if you will, where Ashley's going to tell us everything we need to know. Because, look, we know what you're doing right now. You're sitting on your couch. You're walking down the street, you're on the subway, you're in your car, right? And you're doing that. You're getting somewhere. Mm-hmm, but your head is like, man, I got to finish this podcast before I watch Peacemaker. So if you're on the subway, don't open HBO Max.
This really mean that you get.
Oh, I sorry. Apologize. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
I apologize. Don't open your phone and watch HBO Max. Finish this episode. There you go.
Yeah, take your headphones off and then put them on someone else's ears and make them listen to this as well. Or you know what? Here's better.
We don't recommend you force a stranger. No.
Rip their phone out of their hand and subscribe them to Geek History Lesson.
Don't. Our listeners are going to drop at a half. We do not recommend that because they're going to die. Don't do that.
No, but tell people about it. If you know anyone who is genuinely excited for Peacemaker, do recommend them this episode because I think this is going to be a good primer.
Sure.
I did a lot of reading I didn't want to do for you, so please make it worth my while.
She did. So let's have this pay off. Let's go.
So before we start, Jason, I'm going to put some responsibility on you.
Oh, God.
Can you give people a short summary of what Charlton Comics is and how it became absorbed by DC Comics?
Charlton Comics actually is a golden age comic book company that would do titles like Lawbreakers or Suspense Stories or Eh. They literally had a comic book called Eh.
Mm-hmm.
E-H, trademark. But they later did a bunch of characters that were created by Steve Ditko, who is the co-creator of The Amazing Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. And he did some characters. I don't know if Steve Ditko didn't create Peacemaker, did he?
No, he didn't.
He didn't. But he created other Charlton characters like Captain Atom and The Question.
Uh-huh.
And they were all sort of grouped together and in a group of superheroes that were published by Charlton Comics, and Peacemaker was one of those characters.
And then DC bought it. If you want a longer sort of publication history on that, check out our Watchmen or our Ted Kord Blue Beetle episode.
Mm-hmm.
And also pin that, keep Blue Beetle in mind because he's going to come up later.
Do we want to
the end of this lesson?
Do we want to? Are you going to talk about the pre-DC history a little bit?
Oh yes, I am.
Okay, so
I read that first issue? You know I did.
We'll save the conversion story or the conversion conversation for later then.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So like many villains, because Peacemaker, in my opinion, is a villain. Mm-hmm. There's been a whole bunch of Peacemakers over the years. There's been several many people who have been Peacemaker.
Like other comic
There have
characters.
Been Peacemaker cores and stuff like that. So we're going to go through two of them in this lesson, but our main focus is going to be Christopher Smith, because he is the original Peacemaker from the mm-hmm. Charlton comics. He's the first Peacemaker to appear in DC Comics, and he's also the one currently being portrayed in live action by John Cena. So he's the man with the plan and the toilet bowl.
Okay.
His comic book origins are actually much more professional than the Suicide Squad would lead you to believe. Christopher Smith was originally a pacifist diplomat, but his dedication to peace leads him to acting violently against superheroes in his cause. As the hero Peacemaker, Smith uses exclusively non-lethal weapons against dictators, warlords, and other political baddies. As a leader, he founds the Pax Institute. Pax, if you're not familiar, is the Latin word for peace, which is why it gets thrown around a lot in Peacemaker specifically, mm-hmm. Which is a charity organization and medical institution based out of Geneva, Switzerland. Geneva, obviously, also being very famous for housing things like UN summits, stuff like that. Jason, mm-hmm. with characters like this, it's super fun to tell you about their first comic book issue ever. Would you like to hear about Peacemaker number one from 1967 by Charlton Comics?
I don't have any choice, so let's go.
Heck yeah. So, picture this. There's a mystery in the ocean.
This is an audio podcast, Ashley.
That's why you have to picture it in your brain.
Okay, there's a mystery in the ocean.
Someone is stealing fish that are normally captured and go to supply North America and England.
Okay.
Diplomat Christopher Smith.
Thank God.
Double-breasted suit.
Thank God we got the diplomat on it.
Is bent out of shape about it. So he puts on the toilet seat helmet and a diving suit and appoints himself the person to fix it. He dives down in some ocean somewhere, presumably the Atlantic based on geography, mm-hmm. and discovers a frogman who is stealing fish. Dude in a suit with fins. They kind of fight. Peacemaker follows the frogman back to his lair and discovers it's a bunch of French people, which the Americans like to derogatorily call frogs. Mm-hmm. Peacemaker punches some French dudes, saves the day, end of comic.
So, fish.
So,
okay.
Is any of this reflected in what you think of as the contemporary Peacemaker character?
No.
Does this seem anything like John Cena at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
probably for a good reason, though. I mean, look, you can tell from the Suicide Squad that they do this with a lot of comic book characters, mm-hmm. rightly so. When a certain character doesn't have a definitive character, mm-hmm. or at least a basis or a foundation, they basically do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we needed to see Diplomat. What's his name again?
Christopher Smith.
I'm actually surprised he doesn't have like a patriotic name. Like he's not like George Washington or something.
Well, so it's not until post-Crisis on Infinite Earth that he gets much of a personality. But allow me to assure you that what we see in the movie is a much more reserved and politically correct version than what we got from this character in the 80s.
Okay.
So just because it's a famous staple of the pod, can you explain to people what Crisis on Infinite Earths is in three sentences or less?
Crisis on Infinite Earths is a mega DC Comics event where the DC editors stopped and rewrote their entire history up until that point. Mm-hmm. I can't do it in three sentences. Impossible.
No, but you usually go and the Anti-Monitor ate all the universes.
Basically,
and farted out one universe.
There were a million universes. Multiverse is the rage now, everybody.
Yeah, it is.
The multiverse.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know what it is now. Yeah. Who would have ever thought we lived in a world where the multiverse is like in the lexicon?
Yeah.
Anyways, multiverse is out there and there are 100,000 Supermans.
Yeah.
And DC was like, there are too many Supermans. And they wrote this event called Crisis on Infinite Earths, where they basically just said, no, there's only one Superman now, and screw your damn multiverse.
Yeah.
And then they brought it back 20 years later.
Yeah. So, after that, everything changes. Post-Crisis on Infinite Earths, we get a new series. Peacemaker gets his own series in 1988. Mm-hmm. Christopher Smith learns that his pacifism stems from something, from a specific thing. Jason, can you guess what it is?
No.
Serious mental illness. That's not a joke.
Okay.
So in fairness to the story, his mental illness is a traumatic response to his deep-held shame over his father, who was a Nazi death camp commandant. And Smith believes that he is haunted by his father's ghost, who criticizes his son for not living up to his version of the Ubermensch. I'm not kidding.
So his dad is a Nazi scientist?
He's a commandant. He's a death camp commandant. He's stated in issue 2 of Peacemaker to have killed in the ovens over 50,000 Jewish people. And he appears as a blue ghost for all 4 issues of the miniseries, speaking pig German. Like, as someone who is like a beginner to like low intermediate German speaker, it is like pig German. It's like barely German. It's a lot of yas and nines. So all of this information is disseminated to you in about 3 pages of his first issue. So let me recap this issue for you as well.
Well, cool.
Picture this: a beach.
Okay.
Somewhere, a billion people.
That's a lot of places.
Are getting slaughtered with bullets
on the beach,
exploded, or eviscerated. No character can be identified for about 7 pages.
7 pages?
Smash cut to Christopher Smith's luxurious Castle Cum mansion somewhere in the DC universe, which about 4 pages later you learn is a castle in Geneva, Switzerland, up in a Swiss Alp somewhere.
Okay.
He's got this sexy French girlfriend who's wandering about in her underwear because it's the 80s.
Yeah.
He banishes a sexy girlfriend to talk to his butler. And he's talking to his butler about like how sad he is that he just murdered a bunch of people on the beach. But then he gets a headache, so he's like, gotta lay down. So the butler leaves and sends in a sexy maid who then walks around sexily cleaning his study while Christopher Smith lies down and whines about his problems and like whines about his headache.
Mm-hmm.
Smash cut to inside his brain. All this time.
Inside Christopher Smith's brain.
Yes.
Okay.
All this time, we've been seeing this weird pseudo-German speech bubbles that just like point to his plane or like point to his helmet or like point to his jetpack. And it turns out that this is all inside of his psyche, and this is his Nazi father. And his Nazi father's last name was Schmidt, which when they moved to America, they changed to Smith. And mm-hmm. he screams at him for 4 more issues about how he should just grow up and be a Nazi already. Mm-hmm. So then Christopher jumps up, puts on the toilet seat helmet, calls himself Peacemaker, and leaves. Smash cut 2. We're like halfway through the issue.
Okay.
It's like a 36-page issue.
Is this DC Comics Peacemaker yet?
This is DC Comics Peacemaker, 1988.
Okay.
Post-crisis. So. Smash cut 2. An island somewhere in ambiguously Asia. Everybody's colored orange. Everybody's wearing a Fu Manchu. Everyone has real thin eyes, bad stare, and speaks in pig English.
Mm-hmm.
This is the lab of Dr. Sinsin, the bad guy for these 4 issues.
Dr. Simpson.
Sinsin.
Oh, okay. Sinsin.
Because he's bad, so it's Sin.
I was hoping he's named Homer.
And he has a black karate chopping baddie.
Woo.
Who helps him, named Micah, which is like a shockingly normal name.
Okay.
And they spend the rest of the issue talking about how they're going to kill Peacemaker. And then at the end of the issue, Peacemaker decides he's going to hunt them down because they're the most dangerous terrorist organization in the world. End of issue 1. So, pretty different from his origins 20 years prior, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of this miniseries, you have to meet where it is.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s were a very different time. We were not as sensitive to the female characters. We were not as sensitive to not white people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it not upsetting.
No.
But it, like, this was a tough 4-issue read for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did read all of it because there's only 4. For the rest of the series, he hunts down Dr. Sinsin, and like literally half the issue is just him slaughtering people and screaming at his dad. And his dad's like, why don't you kill people? I killed people. And then in the end, he's literally like, look at me. I can kill as many people as you can. It's kind of brutal. So the ghost of Christopher Smith's father, real or not, pushes him into increasingly more violent tactics to the point where he self-describes as a deadly vigilante. He wears the classic helmet that you see John Cena eventually wear.
And which is bulletproof, and it hides his identity.
It's bulletproof. It hides his identity. It has a lot of unspecified powers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's got radar. Sometimes it's got radio signals.
I think
signals.
It shot a rocket out of it in one comic.
sometimes it has an energy blast. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it can get jammed by a little thing you hold in your hand, kind of depending on what the story needs.
It's kind of like Iron Man's helmet almost.
Yes, but not as cool. Mm-hmm. Christopher Smith eventually comes to believe that the spirits of all the people he has killed live inside his helmet. But they're kind of helpful and like sometimes offer him advice. Mm-hmm. So it all shakes out in the end, and he smooches his French girlfriend in the last issue. Like many villains who publishers don't want to be fully evil, Smith is recruited by a higher organization. And in DC, he is first recruited by Checkmate. Mm-hmm. Jason, what is Checkmate?
Checkmate is sort of the shield of the DC. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not Argus, but it's sort of like a super secret good society of the DC Universe.
Yeah, I really like Checkmate.
I do too. All their positions are chess pieces.
Yeah, and I'm always surprised when we don't have an ongoing series in the DC Comics universe. I just think you can do a lot to it.
There is one now. It's Brian
There is, but there isn't always.
Yeah, you are correct.
Honestly, it's because they occupy the same space as the DOA or Argus, but I've always liked Checkmate better, mm-hmm. so I'm just a little bit biased. Do you think they're a compelling team in the DC Universe?
Checkmate?
Yeah.
Well, they're not really a team. They're an organization.
Organization, then.
Yes, they're the most interesting, I think, they're more interesting than Argus, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Do we want to talk about the Charlton of it all, to the DC of it all, and what happened with Peacemaker and whatnot before we get too far into the DC rabbit hole?
Sure.
I didn't know, do we want to talk about why, what was originally going to happen with Peacemaker?
Well, I don't have that in my notes, so if you'd like to tell us about it.
Oh, I thought that's what I meant before. So
I thought I was just like, they bought it.
Oh, no. So I was going to say, like, we should talk a little bit about how Peacemaker, when DC Comics bought Peacemaker in 1983, they bought Charlton Comics in 1983, the Charlton characters were originally going to be the characters in Alan Moore's very famous Watchmen.
Oh, I do have that, but I have it later.
Okay, we can save it.
Okay, I thought that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
in 1983.
Let's save that because right. He actually does appear in Watchmen, so we're going to talk about when that happens.
Oh, apologies. Okay, so.
That's okay.
So we're going to get, you have a foreshadowing here.
Yes, so I'm going to talk more about Checkmate. We're going to go back to Checkmate.
Sorry, apologies.
Pin and Watchmen, more about Checkmate. Mm-hmm. So, Smith's job as a member of Checkmate is to hunt down terrorists, and he's lauded for his work before his actions turn too extreme. Spoiler alert, that happens a lot. And he's eventually cut from the team. On a different mission, he crashes a helicopter into Eclipso, and Eclipso is presumed dead. Jason, outside of crashing a helicopter into him, is there any universe where you think Peacemaker could take Eclipso?
No.
Right?
Eclipso's a magic-y demon. Why does a guy with a bulletproof toilet bowl on his head going to do anything to that character?
It's a weird choice.
No, yeah, it's very weird.
In the 1999 Green Lantern story, Day of Judgment, he makes a brief appearance as a soul in purgatory because he's finally died. He helps Hal Jordan return to Earth along with a series of other heroes who are kind of waiting to see if they go to heaven or hell. Spoiler alert, if you're in purgatory, I feel like you're just on your way
to
hell.
That's the series that makes Hal Jordan the Spectre.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Mm-hmm. In 2006, there's a series that Jason really, really likes called Blue Beetle, starring Jaime Reyes.
Keith Giffen run.
If you would like to hear him talk about it, check out lesson 127 and you'll learn all you need to know about
that's a long
Jaime.
Time ago.
Yeah, it is, right? So, a character in this series shows up claiming to be Christopher Smith and claiming to be Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. So this is where the idea of being a beacon of hope comes from. That's where it's sort of first introduced for this character.
Oh, okay.
So Jason, I want to ask, do you know what Peacemaker's catchphrase is?
Oh, man. I think I know it. Will I be able to pull it on this podcast?
That's okay.
No, it's something like with something for peace or with peace for something. Uh-huh. It's God. I know. Yeah. What is it, Ashley?
Loving peace so much he'd kill for it.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah.
Then they tack on loving peace so much he'd kill for it, colon, a beacon of hope.
Okay, sure.
So I just want to say that I want to bring this up here on the main episode. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in the discussion portion and kind of what it means to be a beacon of hope and if characters like this should be the beacon, kind of like what we talked about on Punisher.
Sure.
So just stick around for the discussion with our expert. We're going to get into all the implications around that. So
yes,
when Peacemaker first takes off his helmet in Blue Beetle, he doesn't look like Christopher Smith. He looks like Mitchell Black.
Mm-hmm.
So now feels like a good time to talk about who the heck that is.
Yeah, who is that, Ashley?
So Mitchell Black is a member of the Peacemaker Project, which is under the umbrella of the Pax Institute, that peacekeeping organization that in the Charlton Comics Peacemaker founded in Geneva. Uh-huh. He is a surgeon who eventually takes on the Peacemaker superhero persona to team up with a bunch of other Charlton characters who appeared to have been killed by Prometheus in Infinite Crisis number 7 until he shows up here in Blue Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
So under Project Peacemaker, a bunch of dudes got called Peacemaker. They gave this guy a name and had Prometheus kill
but,
him.
Yeah, but he's not the Christopher Smith.
He's
or
not. Schmidt.
Christopher Schmidt.
Yeah, so got all that? Okay, so back to Blue Beetle. And I just want to say, Jason, feel free to jump in and add anything just because you're our resident Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle expert. So this version of Peacemaker is they never confirm if it's Mitchell Black or if it's Christopher Smith or if it's some weird hybrid of both of them.
I remember
they use both
that.
Names.
They don't really tell you who, they just call him Peacemaker.
Yeah, so Peacemaker had fallen into the same Bialian pyramid as Dan Garrett. Who is Dan Garrett?
The original Blue Beetle.
The original,
Golden Age Blue Beetle.
The Charlton Comics Blue Beetle.
Yes. But also the Ted Kord Blue Beetle is also a Charlton Comics.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing, but yes.
So Peacemaker fell into and came across a same piece of alien technology that Dan Garrett had encountered, and this allowed him to access the scarabs of both Dan Garrett and Jaime Reyes. Mm-hmm. What are the scarabs? In this version of the mythology, a scarab is a piece of alien technology that attaches to your back and your spinal cord, and it connects with you on a sentient level and gives you armor and lets the Reach, the evil aliens who created them, also connect with you.
Yes.
TLDR. So eventually, the Reach figure out that he's found this piece of technology, and they give him his own scarab, and he's kind of a bad guy, so they send him off on his way to kill Jaime Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Jaime was able to interface directly with Peacemaker scarabs, because the scarabs can all kind of talk to each other. They're hooked up to the same kind of Borg network, so that they can face his inner fears together, because it's comics. So they have to basically go into a dream sequence to make Peacemaker good again.
But there's a lot of it that is Peacemaker is there to kill Jaime.
Yes, that is.
Yes. Because he thinks that anybody that gets converted by the scarab goes evil.
Yep.
Which is the big reveal of that series eventually, is that basically you learn that the Blue Beetles have been across the universe and they've all been turned into basically emissaries, evil emissaries by the aliens of the Reach.
Yeah, it's so hard because there's so much mythology in Blue Beetle.
Yes.
Back in the real world, once they face down Peacemaker's fears and all that, he cuts the scarab out of his spine, rendering himself grievously injured, but still alive because they're trying to make him cool. Peacemaker works with Jaime to defend his family and his home from an attack by the Reach in an act of heroism before the end of the story where he leaves El Paso, which is where the events are set.
And
Jaime advises him to become his own man and reclaim his identity as Peacemaker because he doesn't need a scarab and he doesn't need to be a beetle.
Mm-hmm. Which basically happens like in issue 25.
Yeah. So that's his time in Blue Beetle. Then a version of Peacemaker, unnamed, appears in Justice League International as part of the League Busters and is never seen or heard from again.
Probably for a good reason.
He makes cameo appearances in 52 and the Pax Romana storyline of Grant Morrison's The Multiversity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Pax Romana. It's a single issue. It's really, really good. And I say that he makes a cameo because he's kind of the inciting incident. So in Pax Romana, the idea of the peacemakers and the Pax Institute is national to the United States. It's a pseudo-military organization using superheroes to carry out government business.
We should make it very clear, though, that the gag of multiversity is that this is not
Earth. They all take place on different Earths.
Yes, so this is the quote-unquote, I don't remember what Earth it is, but it's the Charlton Comics Earth of the DC multiverse.
And at the beginning of Pax Americana, based on Pax Romana, we see Christopher Smith Peacemaker assassinating President Harley.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Harley Quinn. It's a male president. His name is President Harley. And that starts off the question. This is kind of like
why he did it.
This is kind of like Watchmen issue 9, where it's not told in a linear story.
It's told backwards.
Yeah.
It's told backwards.
Which you figure out about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil it because literally all of his involvement has to do with him shooting the president, and then everything else spirals out from there, and there are different characters who are involved with it. Lots of great Blue Beetle stuff, but this is probably Peacemaker's best thing, in my opinion, is this issue.
It's like one of the best single-issue comic books I've ever read.
Jason actually has said on the podcast before, I believe you named this your favorite. The Multiversity you certainly named as your favorite comic
in the past. I think I did.
Or one of our best of years.
Mm-hmm.
In flashbacks during Alex Ross and Mark Waid's Kingdom Come, Peacemaker joins his fellow Charlton heroes in the Justice Battalion.
Cool.
Although his costume is super cosmic-y and he looks nothing like the toilet bowl, he kind of looks like Boba Fett.
Okay.
It's kind of cool.
So they redesigned the helmet.
They definitely, all the Charltons got like a modern kind of update.
Not a terrible idea.
He's then exploded by Captain Atom. Fun fact, so this is what Jason was talking about. Peacemaker is Alan Moore's stated influence for the comedian in Watchmen. So if you know how I feel about Watchmen from previous Watchmen episodes, this kind of tells you all you need to know about how I judge the character and his morality.
And just to be clear, we should say that, again, when Alan Moore came up with the idea for Watchmen, it was going to be the Charlton characters.
It's going to be Blue Beetle.
So Peacemaker was going to be the comedian. Blue Beetle was going to be Night Owl.
The Question was going to be Rorschach.
Captain Atom was going to be Dr. Manhattan.
Nightshade was going to be
Silk Spectre.
Silk Spectre.
I don't know if it's Nightshade, but yes.
It's Nightshade and Pax Americana.
Yes. So you're probably right. And then, I can't remember the name he was going to give him, but then eventually DC was like, nah, we can do something with these characters. And so he made analogs to all these characters. And I actually think the story works out better because he made original characters, but
I agree.
But yes, the Peacemaker is the comedian.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I bring this up at this point in the lesson.
At this juncture.
Versus sort of in the more chronological history, because in an homage to this lineage and this inspiration, Peacemaker appears in Geoff Johns' Watchmen sequel, Doomsday Clock, during the battle on Mars against Dr. Manhattan. It's not a big appearance, but he actually is in a Watchmen story. In modern comics versus when Watchmen was originally published. So that's why I had this noted here. Post DC Rebirth, Christopher Smith is the one and only Peacemaker. So Jason, what is DC Rebirth?
DC Rebirth is just like a soft reboot of the DC universe. Not even a reboot. It's just a retelling where they put a bunch of number ones on the covers and they said, hey, buy some comics because Superman doesn't have trunks anymore.
And they said, we're going to hold the line at $2.99 for like a couple of years.
For 2 years, and then we're going to break it.
So he's the only Peacemaker that has ever been on Earth One and is added to the Suicide Squad lineup in a bit of brand synergy about a year before the Suicide Squad hit cinemas. When we meet him, Peacemaker is trying to infiltrate Arkham Asylum with the Talon in the events that lead up to, quote, the Joker incident, unquote. And that's what leads him to becoming part of the Suicide Squad. And a friend of the pod, Tim Sheridan, like we said, is currently writing Peacemaker as part of his Teen Titans Academy run. And this is where we are going to end the lesson because we try really hard not to spoil anything recently or currently going on in publication history. So that's your Peacemaker lesson. Are you ready for recommended reading?
Yeah, let's go to recommended reading where, guys, if you go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, you can pick up the three choices that Ashley wants to give you to read if you want to know more about Peacemaker and his toilet bowl head.
So this is a mixed bag for me. I'm giving you two that I think are important historically. Yes. So if you really like this character and you really want to deep dive, I do think you should check these out to get the full picture. And then I'm giving you two that I actually think are readable.
Okay.
And won't offend you. That are readable. So.
Wow. I don't know if we've ever said that before. Two that are readable.
So the first one is the Complete Peacemaker New Expanded Edition. Uh-huh. This is the entire Charlton Comics run of this character.
They published it?
They did.
Wow.
This book is out of print, but it's very easy to find.
People are selling it cheap.
Lots of, yeah, basically.
$1.95.
So if you are the person and you really like the origin, Charlton Comics are very different from DC Comics, which is what's fun and interesting about them. It's a really different type of storytelling.
Maybe don't buy a Whopper this week and buy this trade.
So if you like
you're
this,
making the wrong choice, friends.
Or if you like Whoppers, if you like Watchmen and you're interested in the origin, sure, this is a great place to go. I'm going to very reluctantly recommend the Peacemaker 1988 series.
Okay.
Because it's problematic, but it's the only Peacemaker solo series DC Comics has ever
and
published.
So it makes it to the list.
So it's on the list. And then I'm going to recommend Suicide Squad Volume 1, Give Peace a Chance. This is the 2021 series where he joins the team. He's a much more, I'm going to say dumb, but fun reflection, kind of like you're used to seeing him if you're only familiar with him from the movie, or if you're psyched for him in the series. I think this is the best primer you can get. And then I'm also going to recommend The Multiversity, because in my opinion, that's the most interesting thing he's ever done.
Yep.
Frank Quitely draws the hell out of him. Mm-hmm. He's honestly never looked better.
Yeah.
And The Multiversity is recommended reading across the board as a comic book fan. It's just the law. So that's your recommended reading.
Nice.
Peacemaker. Please welcome to the podcast a professional geek who has worked for Loot Crate, DC Comics, and Netflix, a writer whose work can be found at themahadman.com, and host of Everything is Super on Post Show Recap, Kevin Mahadeo!
Hey! I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited that we've had you because Kevin's been a friend of ours for a long time and a coworker, and we wanted him on the pod and we bullied him into joining us because we need someone else to talk about this character with.
It's appropriate too. You forced me in peacefully through force.
We should note again, just a reminder to everybody, at the time of this recording, we have not seen the Peacemaker show. We're going to be talking about the Peacemaker show in a lot of ways. We're just going to be guessing.
Yes. Yeah,
we're going to be guessing.
But we're three professional writers, so they're going to be fun guesses. Yeah,
yeah. Well-informed guesses based on nothing.
Based on absolutely nothing. So just to establish like a bar for everyone, what is your familiarity with Peacemaker before he was announced as a member of the Suicide Squad movie?
I think my biggest familiarity with Peacemaker was the fact that the comedian was based on him. That's like my greatest knowledge set amongst this character. Because everyone would say, like, did you know Watchmen, those characters are actually based on the Charlton characters?
I didn't realize it was that common.
That people would say that?
Yeah.
Like, I guess in the industry, I suppose, right?
Okay, that's fair.
Working at Wizard Magazine, that's all everyone ever said.
That's the reason I knew about it was because of Wizard Magazine. Yeah, we should mention, by the way, we talk about Wizard Magazine a lot on this podcast. Kevin, you worked at Wizard Magazine.
I did work at, that's actually my like super secret origin story, is that I worked for Wizard Magazine in the mid to late 2000s.
When you were 5 years old.
I was,
we're all very young.
The tail end of Wizard.
I would love to believe that fact. Yeah, and made a lot of friendships, made a lot of connections. We've scattered to the winds since then, but I've got to read so many comics while working there, but that's mainly how I even discovered the Charlton characters, honestly. I had no idea about like Blue Beetle being from that. And obviously no one talked about Peacemaker until someone told me, like, well, the comedian is based on Peacemaker. And
so I learned that doing the research for this episode. Didn't know anything about that. I mean, I knew the Charlton characters were the origin, but I didn't know that Peacemaker was the comedians before we were prepping for this today.
You can see it too, though.
I'm pretty certain we have talked about it on a GHL, but that's fine because I know Ashley, we should make this clear for Kevin. Ashley passionately hates the comedian.
Ashley,
but that's a
correct Watchmen.
That's a correct observation.
I was gonna say, like, that's probably the appropriate take on that character.
No, if someone, and if you're listening, if your favorite character is the comedian, that's a red flag, my friend.
Oh, yeah. If you go on a first date with somebody and they're like, my favorite character is the comedian, walk away.
Unmatched.
My favorite movie is Fight Club. My favorite character is the comedian. It's like, oh, I gotta go.
There's a pattern here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of an insidery baseball question, but people on Twitter and the Jawan Discord were like super excited to hear Jason discuss whether or not it's responsible for a civilian to be a beacon of hope through violence, which is what Peacemaker stands up as. And the easy analog for that, right, is the Punisher. Like, is it ethical to be Frank Castle and operate in this way? So let me throw it out to the guys, because then I can answer last. Is Peacemaker's ethos ethical? Is that a superhero way to behave?
Kevin, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah. man.
Easy question. That's a lowball question.
Lowball question.
Softball.
Tossing it to Punisher especially. Look, for me, no. I, if you know me, I famously do not like the character of the Punisher because of... I'm going to solve problems with guns. And like, for me as a brown man, I'm just like, well, that must be nice for you. I suppose that could be your solution. But Peacemaker, I also am not into, I guess, that ethos of it. Right. The idea, I think the tagline that he used to have was like, peace through any force necessary.
Peace through violence.
Peace through violence.
Hold on. Well, let me scroll. Now I've navigated away from that page. Do. Jeopardy, don't come after me, please.
I think it's 10 seconds. You have 10 seconds to hum the tune before they come after you.
Let's keep talking.
But like, in the long and short is that I just don't really like that philosophy, right? I'm not a big fan of just like the hyper-violence as a serious thing. Mm-hmm. I think what I love about what the Suicide Squad movie did, James Gunn's The Suicide Squad, is they made the character purposely over the top and like, I don't say laughable, but like it is a almost like farcical take on it, taken to the extreme. And I like that interpretation, which is what we seem to be possibly in our educated guess we'll be getting from the show. But like as a character and as an ethos and philosophically, like I'm not into that sort of thing.
I don't want to take this podcast too political, but I will say that I agree with your statement, Kevin, because I think you can look at The Suicide Squad and you can really tell by the way the Peacemaker is written that he is a satirical take on a recent U.S. president.
So the Peacemaker's catchphrase is loving peace so much he'd kill for
there it is.
I agree with you because it's so funny. Like that is such, I think, an idiotic way to look at like sort of like the homegrown American values. But in a weird way, and I think a lot of international listeners would probably agree with this statement, it's almost very accurate to how America operates in the world. Like weirdly, he might be the most compared to like something like Captain America. Like Captain America and Superman are very much like what we hope America is viewed like. But Peacemaker is probably very accurate to how America is actually seen in the world when you think about it.
So way to make us all sad.
Is there room for a character like that in contemporary comics as a hero? Because they're trying to put DC, Marvel does this too. They love an anti-hero. What's the opposite of a hero? A villain. Mm-hmm. But they love characters that straddle that gray area. So like, is there room for someone like Peacemaker in comics in 2022?
For me personally, I would say no to the comics. Mm-hmm. But I would say yes to like television and movies. And the reason why is it's all the tone. Like, I think you can, satire, I think, works better in live action than it does in comic books. I really, really believe it. Now, I think like comic books like Mad and all those other ones and Cracked and all that stuff like that, they do work. But something like Peacemaker is so, I know he's not subtle, but to understand the joke of it all is subtle. And I think more people, like we were just talking about, more comic book fans are more like, they'll take the gung-ho. They will idolize him instead of realizing that he is a joke.
Yes.
What do you feel, Kevin?
I 100% agree. And I think your point about like satire works best in live action, I think the reason is because of tone. And you can convey that very easily through the actor's voice, through music. There's so many ways to do it. When you do it in a comic book, it has to be like Mad Magazine, mm-hmm. or, you know, throw it to when DC recently did the Hanna-Barbera thing with the Flintstones.
The Mark Russell book
was so over the top that it was recognizable.
I'd read Mark Russell's Peacemaker.
I mean, because
I would too.
I think Mark Russell would do it correctly in that make it very obvious that it's satire. And in comics, you have to make it obvious because once you insert subtlety, unfortunately, like it's hard for people to grasp and they will take it certain ways and idolize it. And it could go really, really, really wrong.
Yes.
So I just think Peacemaker as a character probably doesn't work in comics, which is also why we haven't seen him in comics
in a long time.
Look, I read his 80s solo series.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very clear
I feel bad that she read it now. I never read it, and then she told me about it on this podcast, and now I feel bad.
Kevin, I'd love to ask you a little bit more about this because you've touched on it a little bit. What do you think John Cena's version of Peacemaker brings that was lacking in the comic book character?
I think the way that John Cena approached it with that dedication to the mindset, but John Cena himself knowing that this person thinks he's right, but is clearly not, is what it is, right? Like, I think he was able to bring that level to it. And also just the physicality of John Cena, who just looks like
ex-wrestler.
Like an ex-wrestler looks like a comic book brought to life, I think really helped elevate what they're trying to sell that character as. And shockingly, you know, ex-wrestler, there's very few and far between, but he's actually one of the ones who I think is also a good actor. So it helps that he's made that jump into this role and I think embodies it in a great way. What also for me, coming from a person who used to love a lot of wrestling, this is John Cena's thing, was being this Captain America-like character. Like, he portrayed this, like, good old American boy, like, you know, like, saluting the troops. Like, he's very much that type in his persona there.
He seems to be that person in real life,
right,
too.
In the positive way,
yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah, in the extreme positive way.
So I think when you've been doing that for a long time and it's part of your personality and you can embody it, to be able to flip it on its head with a character like Peacemaker probably comes a little bit natural. So I think that all helps with him and that background to really bring that to this character on screen and help it work real, real well on the Suicide Squad movie.
What do you think was his best moment in the Suicide Squad, the movie? Because a lot of his best moments, I think, made it into the trailer and I would have liked to have discovered in the movie, but I'm just interested if anything stuck with either of you as like a best Peacemaker moment.
So yes, a lot of the stuff for me, I will admit, was new. I have a pretty strong philosophy I try to live by because one, working in...
Be like Peacemaker.
No. Working in the marketing industry, I'm very familiar with trailers. And so my philosophy is don't watch them. So I will at max usually watch like a trailer for something if I need to be convinced to watch it, but I will avoid trailers.
God's bless you, Kevin.
I know. I didn't watch any of the Spider-Man ones for No Way Home.
You lucky dog.
I went in blind.
Probably the way to do it.
Right? Yeah. It's real nice. So for me, a lot of this stuff was new. And I think off the top of my head, my favorite sequence, there's two. Now okay. I'm thinking really hard about this. I love the sequence where it's him and Bloodshot, and they are... Wait, is that right? Bloodshot?
Bloodsport.
Okay, Bloodsport. I was like, Bloodshot is a...
One
is
of them
a
is Vin Diesel.
Image.
You're mixing with Deadshot.
Deadshot.
Yeah, yeah.
Star of Arrow, Deadshot.
Yes. When the two of them are going through the camp and trying to one-up each other with killing people, I thought that was very amusing and it was a very great sequence with Peacemaker because it contrasts him with Bloodsport in that moment. And then the other one is the moment he kills Rick Flag, I think, is the opposite end. It's a great moment, extremely memorable, but I think also defines that character.
Mm.
So those are two moments that immediately stick to my head as just like, oh, if you want to know who Peacemaker is, watch just these two scenes and you'll probably be able to get it.
No, the camp, when they go into the camp and they kill everybody in that camp and then they just open up the
tent. Lord of the Rings did it first.
And Rick Flag is sitting there. It's the best scene in the entire movie.
Yes.
It is literally the best scene. And it also, because it does that thing that they always say, is that when you're writing an action sequence, you should tell it through character. Mm-hmm. And because they make it a battle of wills between Bloodsport and the Peacemaker, it works. It like lands the joke so hard.
How sweaty do we think his helmet was, though? Like, so sweaty?
I bet it was nasty.
Like, sweatier than the rest.
There was probably
tights?
Also 10 of them, so they probably had a couple of days.
You think there were
10?
I think there were 3.
Yeah.
No. I bet you, just like Captain America's shield, I bet you there were some that were super reflective and always buff because they were the hero helmet.
Oh,
sure. Then I bet you there were rubber ones that weren't as shiny so that he could, like, do action stuff.
Yeah.
And then I even bet you there was one that was mainly a mocap helmet for any CGI business.
Or any of the reflective shots off of it.
Well, that was one of the coolest things. The Rick Flag fight is like they did that whole sequence where, and it was a CGI helmet, but you saw the whole fight in the reflection of his helmet, which to me was the only reason why I was like, okay, one, you're making 2021, the Suicide Squad. The first thing I would do would be get rid of that stupid helmet. But that sequence to me was like, oh, you explain, that's the reason why you kept the helmet. You had the idea to like do that fight in the reflection. All right, we're going to have this stupid thing for the entire movie.
Just to that moment.
Well, and the joke of like, it's not a toilet seat. Yeah. Speaking of, I mean, I did that. I used that for the intro. Like, it's a good joke.
It's also like, it's a real dumb helmet. Like, to Jason's point, helmet.
It never looks so dumb.
So stupid.
It's not even dumb. It's cool, right? Because like comics live in that, like, this is like, why does Nightcrawler have swords? I don't care.
It looks
awesome.
Cool, yeah.
I always thought it was a bullet. Like, I always thought that's the design idea behind it. I always thought it was a bullet.
I can't tell you why.
Yeah, nobody knows.
I can't see it as a bullet either. Like, I mean, I'm not ultra familiar with bullets, but like...
Because he's the bullet for America.
Yeah, I guess I'm sure.
He's America's bullet.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got one more thing that we need to discuss because Peacemaker is hitting the HBO Max. So what are our hopes and our dreams for the series? What are our predictions? The good, the bad, the ugly. So Kevin, if you'd like to take it away, you're our guest. What do you want to see on the Peacemaker show?
I honestly, it's... For me, the thing I want to see the most is carrying over the tone from that film and embracing the comic bookness of the character and certain elements of it. Because I think one of the things that made The Suicide Squad so good is that they weren't afraid to shy away from the comic books. For God's sakes, Starro was in there and he was a giant
starfish.
And he was cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. So I think... That's what I really hope, and considering it is James Gunn who wrote all of it, and he's directing like 5 episodes, I think we will...
I think there's only 5. I think he directed every episode of the series.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Justin was like, I have to go shoot Wipeout, so you have me for 5 episodes.
I'm really hoping for a lot of that, some more comic booky stuff, as much ridiculous stuff that they can mine from that era to put into this show and have it be treated in a very similar way as it is treated in The Suicide Squad would be my prediction and hope.
So there are 8 episodes. He wrote all of them. He directed 5.
Wow. Incredible. Okay. Wow.
I'll tell you what. There is a Peacemaker. I watched the newest trailer. I know you said don't watch trailer.
Right, yeah.
But I watched the newest trailer earlier today because, you know, I saw the after credits scene in Suicide Squad. I'd seen the earlier teaser trailer and I kind of was like, I don't know about this show.
Yeah.
Don't know if I want a Peacemaker show. The newest trailer, the 3-minute trailer today, the one I saw today, I thought was really great because it does feel like the show is going to be, hey, Peacemaker, everything you believe is stupid and wrong. And it feels like it's going to be him learning that lesson. But also, Peacemaker's stealth weapon is Mr. Robert Patrick, the T-1000 himself X-Files, plays his dad.
Oh,
he's going to be the Nazi.
That's great casting.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be the Nazi, but he's all throughout the newest trailer. And
is his name Wolfgang Schmidt? Because if it is, then he's the Nazi.
His name is Augie Smith.
So maybe not.
He kind of just looks like he's going to be a redneck guy. If it was me making this show, I would cut that Nazi stuff out right away.
Yeah. Because then it also makes Peacemaker about 80.
A lot of the trailer is Robert Patrick just calling John Cena an idiot.
I mean, honestly, that sounds great.
So yeah, there you go. So that's, I just hope, Ashley, do you have any, are you planning, will you watch the pilot?
I'll watch the pilot.
Okay.
I'm not promising I'll watch any more than that. Uh-huh. If David Dismalchin shows up halfway through, I'm in.
Oh, a dream sequence.
If they, like, I was like, you did him so dirty. How did he not get the spinoff?
All right.
It's true. He's so good in the movie.
He's so, I mean, let's poke it out. Hashtag GHL Polka Dot Man, yes?
Hashtag Polka Dot Man cameo?
Yeah, there we go.
All right, there you go.
But I just hope they justify why there's a team, because that's an issue that I find in a lot of modern superhero shows, and Arrow really kicked the door open for that, is like, why are there 35 people in the show?
Yeah.
When it really should be four, three, mm-hmm. maybe just John Cena? Like, if they had just made the show, which maybe is what it is, John Cena beating people up. I think that I'd watch that. And I don't know about John Cena and his super friends, but I'm hoping, because, you know, I watch Titans, so I'm hoping HBO Max makes it at least as good as Titans. Then I'd probably watch it. So,
all right. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us for our discussion. Please let everybody know where they can find you online, especially talk about your podcast, my friend.
Yeah. Well, one, thank you so much for having me. This is great. I'm glad that this finally happened. You can definitely find me doing my own podcast, part of Post Show Recaps, which is a podcasting network in which we cover a multitude of shows. For example, we're covering Yellow Jackets. We just did Cobra Kai, which is one of the ones I was on. Just a ton of stuff. They just did a full Lost rewatch. But specifically for me, you can find me on Everything Is Super. We started with an MCU rewatch at the start of the pandemic. We went through every single Marvel Cinematic Universe film in order.
Dear God.
We ranked them. That's right. We had to watch The Incredible Hulk and Thor 2. And we ranked all of them. And from there, we've just kept going with the Marvel shows. We did all the Sam Raimi and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies way last year before any of this stuff even. Mm-hmm. And we've been covering a multitude of stuff since. And we're also actually about to cover the Peacemaker show on ours as well. So if you want a double the Peacemaker podcast, we're going to be covering that when it starts off.
Hop over.
That's great. Cause we will not.
Yeah, we're not good.
So definitely check that out. Me and my co-host Josh Wigler, who is also from Wizard, big comic book background, also entertainment. We love doing this stuff. So check us out there and check out my website, themahadman.com. It's where I have most of my writings. I have some of my published comic book work up there that people can check out, and follow me on Twitter at Kev Mahadeo. Give me follows. I love having attention, I guess.
So we'll have links to all of that in the description below the episode. Kevin, thank you so much for, again, talking to us about Peacemaker and also not wearing a toilet bowl on your head. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. I was tempted.
Well, that was not a peaceful interview, but a great interview with Kevin Mahadeo. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
He's the best.
He is awesome. All right, we're going to move on into a section of the podcast that I'm iffy about, just the same way I'm iffy about Peacemaker, the teaching tweet. That is where Ashley's going to tell you everything you need to know about the character in, I guess, 120, 240, however many letters or characters Twitter has anymore, how many wordles that Twitter uses now. And you can find that at GHL Podcast on Twitter.
Peacemaker. Definitely wearing a toilet seat on his head.
There you go. You only come to us for the best tweets, everybody.
That's all we got.
Is it the honor roll next?
So I didn't pull honor rolls.
Oh, boy, Ashley. Live on the air here.
We usually don't do them on guest episodes. So if you want to give me 30 seconds, I can pull two up.
Sure, I bet I can vamp long enough while Ashley pulls one for us.
Yeah.
My apologies, Ashley.
That's
all
okay.
Good. You know, go over to Apple Podcasts, guys. Leave us a 5-star review. We will read that review live on the air.
Why don't you let the international folks know how they can get their reviews read as well?
Ashley needs more time. Yep. Right? That's what that says. if you're an international listener, you can email us at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. And you have to take a screenshot because we can't see your foreign review.
Okay, I got it. All right.
Yeah, finally have somebody that's going to join.
I got someone.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we are joined in the teacher's lounge today by J-E-Z-F-J-E-Z-F. Friends, please don't just type a name.
Sometimes they don't give a choice. Sometimes Apple, I think, just makes you a random username.
And they said, the geek that resides within. Words cannot express how happy I am to let the geek within me thrive while listening to your podcast. This podcast hands down completes me. Thank you for all that you are, all that you do, giving the best information in the most sensible way. Thank you. Even though I can't read, I appreciate you. And your username isn't any harder than anyone else. I just don't know how to pronounce it. Thank you for your sweet review.
We complete you. That's awesome. Well, welcome into the Teacher's Lounge into 2022. Professor John Cena has shown up today.
What does he teach?
Bust through the wall with the ba-da-ba, with the music. You know what I'm talking about. He was the, no, Ashley. I'm talking about the John Cena music.
I don't know what the John Cena
it's
music
It's a very famous meme. Everybody, at Ashley V. Robinson on Twitter, send her John Cena memes.
I will tell you, for not knowing that, my good friend Alex at Queen of the Ring wrestling commentator will be texting me to yell at me.
Weirdly, I wonder, do I need to play you with the John Cena meme?
Okay, why don't you dig it up and or we can do hashtag stick around, because I have a question for you for hashtag.
Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can follow us on social media?
Okay, you can follow us on social media, of course, on our website, www.geekhistorylesson.com. We just started a blog this year. It has a bunch of cool supplementary info about stuff that we can't get to on the pod or we want to discuss in a longer form in news. I think you'll really like it. Find us at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at GHLpodcast, because they have character limits, or on Instagram, brand spanking new Instagram, sweet baby angels, at geekhistorylesson. I have to say, doing the stories for the Instagram has been really, really fun lately.
Okay, so I think I found it, but this, when John Cena was at the height of his wrestling powers, it became a thing to memeify that John Cena would break through walls or break into your room like the Kool-Aid Man and and basically wrestling clothesline you to this song.
Okay,
so this, and this is his actually, like, this
his
was
theme music?
This was his theme that he would enter to.
Okay,
but I saw it, I think it was around like 2015, 2016. Uh-huh. I saw this memeified hundreds of times. Hundreds of thousands of times.
It's funny because I've never seen it.
Now, this might not be the song. We, of course, have to wait through an ad for a movie that doesn't look great. I'm not even going to say what it is. You know. All right, here we go. Let's see if this is it. Yeah, this is it. It builds up. Hold on.
Sure.
I want to find it. Yeah, this it is. So it's this. So he'd like come in and be like, John Cena, and you'd hear this song.
Okay.
We'll find a bunch of them.
Cool.
So it'd be like, John Cena. And da, 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 da. Yeah.
That's definitely some white people music days.
Wrestling's a thing, man. Wrestling's big.
No, I know. My favorite wrestler is Velveteen Dream. He's cool. Okay. He's got great hair.
All right.
Yeah.
Where are we at on this podcast?
Hashtag stick around.
Oh, hashtag stick around. Did we say where everybody should find everything, like Patreon and stuff like that?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I was a bit
when movie. And we, again, we have Kevin sticking around for pop culture talk.
Patreon.com/Jawan, everybody.
Yeah. It's going to be really fun. You're going to like it. Check it out. If you need recommendations on what to be checking out, he's the guy.
What's hashtag stick around, Ashley?
So this has to do with the Suicide Squad movie. So if you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil it for you.
Spoilers for a movie that came out last year.
Is there any way we believe that Peacemaker could kill Colonel Flag?
Yes.
I don't buy it at all. I was so mad.
You did put up a spoiler warning for that, right?
That's what I literally just said.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Like, we broke a big spoiler last week. And
it was
not
a spoiler. Variety spoiled it in their title.
Don't say what it is. I want to be very careful here. The comments were fast and furious. John Cena franchise.
Is he in Fast and the Furious?
Yes! He's spoiler alert for a movie that came out last year. Sorry, spoiler alert. He's Vin Diesel's brother in Fast and the Furious.
But they're fully different races.
They literally,
and ethnicities.
I haven't even seen this movie, and I know about this plot point. They do a scene to explain that, I think they either had different mothers or different fathers, but they had
okay.
The same,
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's
so
fair.
They're technically stepbrothers.
They'd be half, but half brothers are brothers. Stepbrothers are brothers.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Okay,
but they
whatever.
Are brothers. John
if
Cena
we get
is
to 500 patrons, I'll watch a Fast and the Furious.
John Cena's in everything, man. John Cena. By the way, everybody, John Cena's here. Hey, come on in.
I've heard he's lovely.
I've heard he's lovely too.
So there you go.
Yes, I do.
You really do think that Peacemaker could kill Colonel Flag?
Yes, because they set up in that movie how good of a shot he is.
Yeah.
And there is a scene.
But he stabs him.
There is a scene in that movie of how good of a shot he is with Bloodsport, where they murder the rebels and they don't know that they're murdering the rebels. So you've by the standards of that movie, they set up that Peacemaker is a above average fighter. So yes, I think he could.
Okay.
And we know that Rick Flagg is an above average fighter as well. I think, to be honest with you, Ashley, and I mean this as, you know, I'm not putting down your opinion or anything like that. I think that's just showing a little bit of your anti-Peacemaker bias, which after this lesson.
Oh, yeah, it's real.
Which after this lesson, I think everybody might probably should have.
Which is funny because, like, I don't stand Flag or anything. Yeah. Like, if I teach the Flag episode, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, this guy also sucks.
Yeah.
But I thought in the rules of the movie, I had a hard time accepting
I understand that.
That.
I understand that. But, you know, it's, yeah, it's just one of those things where I think you just like Joel Kinnaman a little bit more than movie Peacemaker.
That's true.
Yeah. That's and he's great in For All Mankind. So I totally understand.
It's
and
a reference to last week's Geekistry Lesson Extra.
And he's RoboCop.
Yeah. And he's.
He's bad RoboCop.
Yeah, he's bad RoboCop. He's turned into a really good actor.
And he's bad president in House of Cards.
He doesn't get elected president, does he?
Yeah, I know. I just said bad president.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert for a show that nobody should be watching now anyways.
Yeah, really? So, a show that's deep canceled. Yeah.
What other things we want to spoil? Sheriff Brody wins against the shark.
I don't know what that means.
I won't, if you know what it means, you know what it means. It's a movie we watched together. Sheriff Brody. Quinn dies. Let's see what
Darth
else.
Darth Vader's Luke's father.
Darth Vader's Luke's father. Yep. Severus
Boromir dies.
Severus Snape loves Harry's mom.
We don't need to talk about turf properties.
That's right. Anyways, and Neo is the one. There you go.
Yeah, it's almost like his name's an anagram.
It is. It is an anagram.
I mean, we could spoil the new one. Trinity flies.
Oh my God, Ashley. What are you doing here?
That video is all over the internet.
Why? 2 weeks in a row here. 2 weeks in a row. You're literally just out there spoiling
that
video, movies.
That movie is now like 3 weeks old.
And we shouldn't be out here spoiling it, Ashley. Oh, dear Lord.
You literally said, what else can we spoil?
But nothing current. I was making a joke. I was talking about 1999's The Matrix, not movie that came out 3 weeks ago.
Vince Gilligan said 2 weeks was a spoiler.
I don't care. I still think it's a spoiler. I think it's a pretty major spoiler.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I hope you have...
I think it's the most obvious thing they could have done.
We want to apologize. I apologize for Ashley for spoiling big major movie plots 2 weeks in a row.
What else just came out?
No, stop. All right.
Spoil the Tragedy of Macbeth for you.
Well, that
Everyone
one's fine.
Dies.
That one's fine. It's in black and white. Yeah, Macbeth dies. Go read the play. All right.
Go
anyways,
read history.
Go read. Yeah, history. There you go. Fair. Fair. Go open a history book, you dullard. All right.
I think you calling our listeners dumb is worse than me spoiling.
I just imagine somebody out there, you know, because there's so much content, right?
Yeah, there's too much.
There's too much content. They were sitting down. They were ready. They were like, you know what? I'm on my way to work today.
On the subway.
I'm listening to Geek History Lesson on the subway. And tonight, I'm going to watch the Matrix Resurrections. And then they get to the end of this episode, and they were like, how did the Peacemaker episode spoil the Matrix Resurrections? Also, time dating this episode so hard. I am looking forward to the HBO Peacemaker series, and I watched the new trailer for it, and I actually...
Oh, I thought you were going to say the next Matrix movie.
No, spoiler for that, I don't want another Matrix movie. I don't want...
You don't want John Groff to work?
I don't like the one they gave us. Anyways, spoiler, that's it for this podcast. We hope there is peace in our time. What's this phrase again? Peace through justice?
Oh, no.
Peace through a toilet bowl?
Hold on. Scroll,
a toilet bowl for peace.
Scroll. Loving peace so much, he'd kill for it.
Loving peace.
Colon,
so
a beacon of hope.
I will say that is the colon. That is in the trailer. That is in the trailer for the series. So.
Yeah.
And he says it in the movie, a Suicide Squad movie.
I think the series will be really fun, and I think it will hit the exact demographic that they want, which is the people who loved the Suicide Squad.
Yep. That's all you
need. That's all it needs to be.
And not people that like comic books about a guy with a weird Nazi death camp doctor dad.
Yeah.
What an interesting choice.
And look, I'll give him, it's a big swing.
It's a hell of a big swing. It's not the right swing,
incredibly insensitive by contemporary standards, but is it fair to put that on art that was not created in modern time? I leave that to you. And based on that alarm, I'm going to stop talking about
it. Yeah, that's the best thing. Thank you so much for listening to Geek History Lesson, everybody. I am Jason. I don't like toilet bowls. Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
Spoiler alert, the podcast is over.